And let's open up with the word of prayer as I read from one, I kind of make it a little bit more modern, but one of the Valley of Vision prayers. My Master God, as I minister today, I long that your people might be edified with divine truth, that an honest testimony might be born for you. Give me assistance in preaching and prayer, with heart uplifted for grace and unction. Present to my view things pertinent to my subject, with fullness of matter and clarity of thought, proper expressions, fluency, fervency, a feeling sense of the things I preach, and grace to apply them to men's consciousness. Keep me conscious all the while of my defects, and let me not gloat in pride over anything I do. Help me to offer a testimony for you and to leave sinners inexcusable in neglecting your mercy. Give me freedom to open the sorrows of your people and to set before them comforting considerations. Attend with power the truth preached and awaken the attention of your people. May your people be refreshed, melted, convicted, comforted, and help me to use the strongest arguments drawn from your word that men might be made holy. I myself, I need your support, Father God, your comfort, your strength, holiness, that I might be a pure channel of your grace. Give me then refreshment amongst your people and help me not to treat excellent matter in a defective way or bear a broken testimony to so worthy a redeemer, and keep me in tune with you as I do this work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. We're continuing our series on joy in the midst of trials. We're going to try, even though we're going to let the Lord be God as always, but we're going to try to get through this review again. Christian joy, again, is internal. We talked about that no matter what's happening in your life, it is possible not to lose our deep-seated confidence that God is in control. That is a pillow upon which I rest my head at night, every night. If I don't believe that God is in control, I'm in trouble. Because then the next question is, then, who is in control if he isn't? And that's a scary thought. So no matter what's going on, it is possible not to lose our deep-seated confidence. Not just confidence, but confidence that's rooted deep in the heart of his people. What? That God is in control. Not got to go get control and bring something under his control, but that God is in complete control. Just a quick reminder, as we mentioned it ad infinitum, ad nauseum, for 20 years, is that if you look at this right here, I'm pretending to be, I'm in front of this table. And I'm, me being in front of this table represents eternity, what?
Past.
Thank you. The beginning of the table is Genesis, represents the beginning of time. End of the table represents the end of time, Revelation. And then beyond the table is eternity, future. Notice eternity is on both sides. He dwells in eternity. He is eternal. That's something to meditate on, but you'll get a headache trying to figure it out. Just believe it. So in eternity past, before anything got started, he saw all of this, what was going to happen. He said, I know this already. Bear with me. We know a lot at the top of our brain, not even down in here good. It ain't got any good in here yet, let alone seeping down in here. We need to hear and hear and hear and hear and hear and hear some more and hear some more and hear some more. Why does he tell us to meditate day and night? Because we got it? He didn't say, hey, meditate on this once and it's all good. And in the Hebrew, day and night and night and day and day and night and night and day. In the Hebrew, it's continually, constantly, consistently, and continually. It's got to be all three. In eternity past, he saw the whole thing before it ever got started. He knew the virus was going to hit. He knew that on Wednesday, March 11th, the first two would show up in Michigan, first two cases. He knew that by the 13th, basically all schools across Michigan would be done. He knew that. He knew on May 25th, George Floyd would die under the knee of Derek Chauvin. He knew that. He saw the spark of everything that started. This is not new to God. But if you know him, then you will have deep-seated confidence. Hey, I don't care what's going on. I know my God. I know my Father. He's still in control. This didn't surprise him. It threw us sideways. Didn't rattle him. He saw before the foundation of the world. You see why it's a pillow to rest at night? You go to work, crazy things happen. Family going crazy. Food tastes bad. Your order didn't come out right. The manager got a bad attitude. You know, your wife is sideways, you sideways. Whatever it is, God is in control. Amen. Joy is generated by humility. Went over that. You lose your joy when you're self-centered, thinking you deserve better. Humility, devotion, and trust protect your joy. Humility, devotion, and trust protect your joy. Humility toward God. Trust in God. And what was the third one? Devotion to God. All protect your joy. Why? Because you removed yourself from the center of your own world. You say, well, it's my world. I'll do what I want to do. But that's the thing. Once Christ died for you and the blood was applied to your life, meaning that the Almighty God resurrected your spirit from the dead. That's what salvation is. Salvation occurs when the Holy Ghost, when God Almighty, breathes life not into the body, as he did Adam, becoming a living soul, but he breathes spiritual life into our dead spirits, and we become a living spirit. Glory be to God. Now we're able to do Romans 10:9 instead of running straight to Romans 10:9. We're able to confess him as Lord. We're able to believe now that Jesus was raised from the dead. You can't do that before that. Because a dead person, spiritually speaking, can't believe. A dead person can't confess. A dead person can't seek. So Romans 3 lets us know that a spiritually dead person does not seek for God, is not righteous, have gone on to their own way, don't want nothing to do with God. Romans 1 lets us know that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. Not trying to get the truth out. Trying to suppress a little bit they do know. Man, no, he didn't make one blade of grass. He didn't code the dirt so that when you stick seed in that dirt, it knows how to mix in with the seed and produce a plant. God computerized the dirt. Code didn't come from Silicon Valley. It came from God. That's deep. Because you can stick that seed in sand, it's not going to do it. Look like dirt. Close enough. What about it? No, don't have the same code in it. It's not equipped to put pressure on that seed to make it burst and bring forth a root and bring forth a leaf. God made the dirt. Man doesn't even make dirt. He came from dirt. Well, God's something else. I'm going to take something as common as dirt and make human the most complex machine ever in existence, ever, is the human body. From dirt. That's crazy. Then I'm gonna take that dirt and pull a rib out of that dude and out of this bone, just showing off. I'm gonna fashion a woman. And you worried about rent? Come on, rent? I'll let you know, Canton Jones, yeah. You worried about rent? Are you serious? You see why you can have joy? But you got to get to know him. Amen. You can't have joy if you don't know him. And I've been begging folks who have been coming in for 20 years. And I was talking with Andrew. I said, there's been over 1,000 people that have come through this ministry. Through. From stem to stern and border to border. But do you? But I get things like he's too strict. It don't take all that. Then you don't keep moving. Keep it moving. We just prayed it. No, Lord, let them walk away from truth. I must make sure that I present truth. And then if they walk away from it, that's on them. See, my hands are clean. Now, I got blood all over my hands if I'm giving them Christianity light. If I'm giving them just a froth, empty, worthless air. But if I'm giving them truth and they walk away from it, that's on them. I must do my job. Joy, again, is a deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows with absolute settled assurance that all is well between himself and the Lord. What a relaxing thing to know that all is well. There's no animosity between me and God. There's no enmity between the Lord and I. There's no wrath between the Lord and I. Only grace. I'm no longer his enemy. I'm now a friend. I now have taken a seat at the table. We hear these truths, but Father God, do we really believe them? We're like, you know, that sounds really good. You know, that really sounds good. But we really don't. And if you don't believe it, even though you've heard it 1 million times, especially if you don't hear, we've heard it 1 million times, so to say. Then just be honest, say, Lord, you know what? I hear you, but I don't believe it. Or I'm having trouble really accepting that as a real truth. I mean, come on. You're my friend. We're friends. The God of the universe. Really? Creator of heaven and earth. Are you really my father? Am I really your child? I don't understand. I don't get it. Why would you waste your time with me? I sin every day. Every day we sin. And one sin that we sin every day is thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and with all your strength. I don't think we've done that not 1 second of 1 minute of 1 day. And if we did, it was probably for a hot second. It was hot too. We sin every day. What does that mean? Why are you saying we sin every day? Because then what should we get every day? Death. Yeah, we still got life. Not only that, we got a job, we got a car, I got a great wife. I don't deserve her. I got good taste, don't I? No, Dumbo. Dumbo. I'm talking about myself stupid. And I know a sinner is stupid. Why? Don't have the word of God to make it. Remember, it makes the simple wise. What makes the simple wise? The word of God. Without that, you're dumb. You're stupid. I'm nowhere near bright enough to pick out a queen like that. Nowhere near it. She's 10 years younger. She's this and that. Man, I ain't finna, man. You know what I'm saying? Man, we just talking and talking. You just reason this stupid stuff in your mind. And the Lord, in spite of our stupidity, breaks through all of that and still gives her to me, even though I am undeserving of her. Then he teaches me how to love her as the daughter, as his daughter that she is, first and foremost. How to love her. He has to teach us because we're too dumb, we're too stupid. Because apart from me, you can't do nothing. And nothing means you can't even think properly. Am I right? You can't even think properly apart from him. Nothing means nothing. Our thinking is screwed up. We know that Genesis 6 lets us know. Imaginations of the heart are only evil continually. And you want to trust your heart? Well, Jeremiah took 17 and 9 and they took care of that. Our heart is deceitful above all and incurably sick. Don't try to figure things out on your own. God had to do a supernatural thing to hook me up with this young lady. Because I was just being dumb. But thank God he majors in knuckleheads. I thank God for that. He didn't give up on me. He just said, you know what? I've had enough of this dude. This dude don't know what he... I'm trying to give him the love of his life, his lifelong partner, and he is acting stupid. Let me just leave. And that's why we are to be Christ-like and not dealing with other people. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. No, that's me speaking. That's fine. I love the deep breath and the prayer. That's right. We can't say, well, you, but I'm going, no. Y'all work with public and working with you in Babylon, the den of iniquity, you know. They grate you. What are we going to do? We grate him. And a lot of times we don't even know it. Have you been offended by someone, greatly offended, and they had no idea that they just tow you up with their words? I mean, they just, like a machete, just chopped in 900 pieces and walked away. They had no idea. You sitting there in various pieces on the floor. How often do we do that to him? Let's be merciful to others. That brings joy too. Going around being vindictive, thinking you deserve better, that brings a lack of joy. That steals joy, that robs you of your peace. Now, you know what? Jesus suffered worse than that. I'm over that. Let me move on. I count my life as nothing. It's dear to myself. No big deal. They disrespect me. All is well between ourselves and God. Let's go back to Colossians. The Lord is wanting me to go back there. There's still review in a sense, but not. Because remember we said that when we talked about Luke 22, 26, 29, turn, but go to Colossians 1. Remember Luke, Jesus said, blessed are you when people hate you, ostracize you, insult you, and scorn your name as evil for my sake. Be glad in that day and leap, skip, and gallop for joy. Let me ask a question. How in the world can you have that kind of joy in the midst of troubling times? And we said it begins with what? Oh, Lord, really? It begins with the mind, right? How you going to do this? I'm going to give it the mind. The first thing we need to do is do what? Train and develop our minds to focus. Not just glance at, but focus on things above. Not just glance, but focus on things above. And not to focus on the things on the earth. And we are to learn to train and develop our minds to do this while the trial is going on. Still is going on. Now, two words the Lord brought to me that just kept ringing in my spirit. I couldn't get past. So we're going to stay here for a minute and probably for the rest of the time. Colossians 1, two things. Verse 1 says, keep seeking. It says seek. But remember, that's present, active, imperative in the Greek. Right, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, right? So keep seeing. Am I looking at the wrong thing? Colossians 1? 3-1. What did I say?
1.
Oh.
See, you are not flowing in the Holy Ghost. My bad.
Colossians 3 and 1. My bad. Two things that kept ringing in my spirit and I couldn't shake it. Not that I was trying to. Okay, there's something you want to do with this. If you did be risen with Christ, remember, if means since. It's a condition that is factual, that has happened. And so since would be a better rendering of that word of verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been risen with Christ. Christ Jesus was risen. The word to resurrect means out from among. Out from among. So in Jesus' case, Christ Jesus was risen out from among the physical dead. Physically dead. Right? Because his body was in a grave. And so when he was resurrected out from among the physically dead, we have been risen out from among the spiritually dead. And so Christ's physical resurrection is akin to our spiritual resurrection. And so since we've been risen with him, meaning in a long nutshell, since you are saved, that your spirit is alive, then this is what I want from you. Keep seeking those things that are above. The word seek in the King James is again present, active, imperative in the Greek. Present, active, imperative. Present is what? Anybody remember? Present is ongoing. Present is ongoing. Active means that you're to do it, as opposed to passive action happening to you. Active means you're doing it. And then imperative means what? That it is a command. So in the Greek, present, active, imperative mean that it's ongoing, constant, consistent, continual. You're to do it, and it is a command. So if you're saved, you've been risen from the dead spiritually, then you are to keep seeking those things which are above. Now, we're going to get to that word in a moment. We're going to amplify that more. Then go to verse 2. Verse 2 says, set your affections. That, too, is in the present active imperative. Set your affections on things above. And affection, as King James, affection, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. So the two things I want to focus on is keep seeking and setting your mind. Because I'm speaking on, I said, Lord, do they understand that? Those are crucial two directives, right? And if you don't, which are at the foundation of both verses and really carry a lot of weight in moving on toward joy in the middle of trials. Because remember, in order to have that kind of joy, you must do something with this mind. And I want you to understand what it is you're to do. Okay, you hear keep seeking, and you hear set your mind on things. What does that mean? We went over it, but let's go over it again, and let's even add some more to it. Because this is truth. Father God, help us to get this in Jesus' name. Help us to get this. We're not just here. Just, we want to get understanding so that we can apply what we're hearing. So that it can really make a difference in your life, in my life, in our life. Does that make sense? It's cool to give definitions and sound erudite and scholarly. But if it's not, if the people aren't hearing it to the point that their lives aren't being Mack truck changed, then something's wrong. And I think I love the Lord because he knows us better than we do ourselves. Yeah. And he brought those two words back. Keep seeking and set. Go over those phrases and let's get this going. Let's get this started. Amen. So go back to verse chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, King James has sense. in view of the fact you have been raised up with Christ. Andrew, did you want a Bible? JR. Oh, but yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My bad. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, since, or in view of the fact that you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, you hear that, and your question might be, well, so am I to try to picture Christ Jesus being seated? I mean, is that what I'm... No, he didn't say that. He just said, keep seeking things above where Jesus is. He didn't say try to picture Christ Jesus. So that's not what he's talking about. So you understand? So we want to, well, what does that mean then? To keep seeking things above. Seek again means to seek in order to find out by thinking, meditating, reasoning, to inquire into the things above. Yes. Keep seeking, and again, present active imperative, it means to seek in order to find out by thinking, comma, meditating, comma, reasoning, then to inquire into, in this case, the things above. So you're thinking about heaven, you're meditating on heaven, and we're going to get more even what that looks like. But that's what you're thinking about. I thank God that I'm actually living that by the grace of Almighty God. I've not always been that way, Mr. Arlene, not at all. But through continually walking with the Lord over some years, the light turns on. I'm a living witness. And it turned on for me on a Wednesday in Mother's basement at Word of Life. And I remember coming before the people, letting them know, hey, I am ready to go. I'm like Apostle Paul. I'm ready to leave. I'm ready to go. I thank God for that. That's really the real truth. But I thank God that with that new revelation, he had to teach me the for to live is Christ part. Because I was not necessarily depressed, but I just, knowing how crazy this world is going to get, I was feeling some type of way, a bit bummed out that I had a lot of years left on earth. I used to tell you all that I done messed up because I honored and obeyed my parents. And so he said, when you do that, long life, it'll be well with you, and that your days may be long on the earth. So I literally got a little bummed out that I was going to live some longer years, because I really want to go and be, this is real talk, seriously. To the point, he had to comfort me. Say, hey man, you're here for me. I said, you know what? He said, you're in a good place, because that's good. Gain comes when you die, but my gain, in a sense, for my glory, is you staying here and finishing the course and the ministry that I have entrusted to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad he's a great teacher. But meditating on heavenly things is a beautiful thing. We're just passing through. Seeking also is to preoccupy. And this is a real good word. To be preoccupied. To preoccupy means to absorb or engross to the exclusion of other things. Well, we're nowhere near that. You're so preoccupied that you are absorbed or engrossed in the things of heaven to the exclusion of other things. Semicolon. More to come. To concern oneself to be consumed with, to immerse oneself with heaven. I'll read that again. Preoccupy means to absorb or engross to the exclusion of other things, to concern oneself, to be consumed with, to immerse oneself in the things of heaven or with heaven. Now, you got that? All right. You got it? Okay. Now, I still want to get into some, still, what does that look like from an applicable point of view? Good question. So here's some help here. To be preoccupied with heaven is to be preoccupied with the one who reigns there. Who is that? Christ Jesus, our Lord. How about that word? Kurios, ruler, master. So am I pleasing my Lord who is seated at the right hand? Preoccupied with him where he is seated. Be preoccupied, when I say with him, with his purposes, his plans, his provision, his power. Lord, I know thinking like this, I'm not bringing you glory. Need to stop that. That's heavenly thinking, because you're running it through the lens of the power and majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. That thinking does not please my king. Mm-hmm. So I need to change the way I'm thinking. My seeing and oogling certain things I shouldn't be seeing is not pleasing to my king. That's becoming heavenly minded. Mm-hmm. From a practical point of view. Mm-hmm. Let's look at it a little bit more. Look at St. Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verse 31. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is it making a touch sense a little bit? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's very good. Because understanding is the beginning to you really getting it, and then being able to apply it and then teach them out here. Remember, it's not all application is at the forefront, but then it's not just that, it's also and teaching that to somebody else. You want to always be able to know it enough to teach someone else. Remember, Apostle Paul, Hebrews 5, said you guys still need milk when you ought to be what? Teachers. You ought to be a teacher, but you still have need for somebody to teach you. So there's a time that as you grow and grow and grow, you're going to teach this to other people. Yeah. Just think about Miss Palmer and the things that she's been through in her life and with her father and things like that. You could teach them how the Lord kept your mind. Yes. And didn't have it go off somewhere. You can teach them how when you suffer such trauma that you don't have to turn to drugs and alcohol and be promiscuous to try to fill that void. You can teach them that. Yes. That's the Peter thing. When you are converted, and you bring you through this, teach your brothers. Yes. You don't just hold on to the knowledge yourself. Once you get it, you teach someone else. Amen. That's why it's incumbent upon us as teaching pastors to make it plain to a point that you can understand it and teach it to someone else. We must do that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Did I say 31? Mm-hmm. All right. Do not worry then. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles who don't know God eagerly seek. Epizeteo, eagerly seek all these things, For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He already knows. The word eagerly seek is present tense. Is that mine? I don't know. I've heard that noise before. Eagerly seek, that's present tense, meaning it's ongoing. They're seeking. So that word means they are constantly concerned about, always running after, continually setting their hearts on, consistently thinking about, and are preoccupied nonstop with eating, drinking, clothes, girls, boys, husbands, jobs, so forth, all the things on this earth. You follow what I'm saying? He mentioned eating, drinking, and clothing, but you can put all the other things on this earth that we're preoccupied about. Status, money, jobs, wife, husband, whatever. We are constantly concerned about, always running after, continually setting our hearts on, consistently thinking about, and we're preoccupied with nonstop. All these things. Verse 33. But, you see that word, contrasting conjunction. But, which means rather or instead, seek first His kingdom. Seek again, constantly, continually, consistently, desire. That's another word for seek. Desire. And if you use the eagerly seek, you be constantly concerned about first His kingdom. Always run after first His kingdom. Continually set your hearts on first His kingdom. Consistently think about first His kingdom. Be preoccupied nonstop first with His kingdom and His righteousness. Now you're starting to get into what if you didn't believe in Christ, seek those things that are above. Yes. Keep seeking those things which are above. Well, this is what it looks like. To seek things above is to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Now, does that make sense? What are you seeking specifically above is His kingdom and His righteousness. Well, what does His kingdom mean? What does that mean? Good question. Glad you asked. And let me know if I'm going too fast. Okay? His kingdom is His sovereign rule, His sovereign will, and His sovereign authority. Kingdom, basileia, means Him ruling. Where? In your heart. Ruling over you. His sovereign will, His sovereign rule, His sovereign authority. Bowing down, saying, Lord, You are in charge of my life. You rule me. It's Your will that matters. And it is Your rule and Your will, Your authority that's over me. You seek His rule over you. And you surrender to that. You submit to that rule. You seek that. You are always running after Him rule. Rule me, rule over me, Father God. Because, man, at my best, as Mama used to say, I make a mess. Am I right, Papa?
Amen.
I remember Mama used to say that with emphasis. Quite a bit. At my best, we make a mess. Remind yourself, apart from me, you can do nothing. So why are you trying to do something? Seek first His rule. You run it. Because if I run me, I'm going to run myself right into the ground.
Yes.
If I'm running it, I'm going to crash. I'm just an accident going somewhere to happen.
Yes.
That's all I am. Apart from you, seek His rule. Seek His authority. Seek his will. And again, seek means constantly be concerned with it. Run after it. Continually set your hearts on it. Consistently think about, be preoccupied with God's will, his rule, his authority. You are my king, not me. I remember being over in the charismatic. I'm a child of the king. I'm a child. Yeah, you are a child of the king, but the king would really don't want to claim you. You acting like that. You know, because the young lady had her Bible out and she was told to, she had to put her Bible up. It couldn't be that way, you know. She, I'm a child of the king, you know. But child of the king said to submit to those who have authority over you. Put your Bible up. And don't tell anyone you're a child of the king acting like the devil's child. Please. He's king. We're his loyal subjects. Or subjects, some of them are too loyal, but hopefully we'll get there. And his righteousness. His righteousness. Not just righteousness. It's his kingdom, his rule, his will and authority, and his righteousness. So that's his way of thinking, his way of doing, acting, his way of being, and his way of living. And what is that? In a nutshell, holy living. Holy living. You're doing things his way. Righteous. And notice we went over the big three. Thinking his way of thinking. Doing his way of acting. Being his way of existing. Living as a force of habit. His way. When you seek that, then you are seeking those things that are above. Does that make sense? Amen. I like to think that brought it home. Because when I said, Lord, that's it. Because I'm still asking him. I say, okay, I got some of that, but I need a little bit more. I'm not quite clear yet on that. He said, go to Matthew 6. I'm like, wow, that brings the two together. Above me, his kingdom, his rule, his authority, and his way of living and doing and being. You seek that. Be preoccupied with it. Constantly think about it. Be concerned with it. Run after it. Chase after him. And you'll find out that all your little wants and all your little desires, they begin to melt away. Yeah. And thank God when they do. Because bottom line, you feel a lot better. You're holding on to that which is causing you bondage. In slavery, to your own will. Let that mess go. It ain't worth two dead flies. Really not. I'll never forget it. My mother's basement, Wednesday, 1989, about a week or two before Brooke was born. You know the conversation with Sister Jackson, I'll go through all that, but once I learned what I need to do, I got on my knees in the bathroom of your basement. And told the Lord, I'm through with playing with you forever. I'm done with this. That's surrender. And you only can do that by the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes. I said, I'm done. I'm tired. I had two and a half months of basically no sleep. Lost 10 pounds because I had no eating. My stomach was just in there. You know how it would knot and unrelaxed? It just stayed knotted. So I had no, because I was way out of the will of God. I wasn't supposed to be in the pulpit. He sent a man, told me, get up out of there. And I rebuked it. Now I'm under condemnation. I'll never forget those dates. December 31st, 1988. December, New Year's Eve. Shortly after 1 p.m., in the basement of Wayne T. Jackson, Bishop Wayne T. Jackson, that prophet said, that told him, this guy has no business in the pulpit. That was a word from heaven. I don't care how offensive it was, he needed to say it that way. And I still
He'll know what he's talking about. That's the devil.
Yeah, that's the devil, all right. Through me speaking, not through him. And I paid dearly. I paid dearly. I'm glad. I'm glad I have that testimony. Glad I lived to tell about it. But I was out of God's will.
His rule, his way, his authority. He's in charge.
I know that experientially. He's in charge. Okay, what you try to press through this, brother, you're not going to stay in this pulpit. But you're not supposed to be in there.
And those 2.5 months were the worst months of my life by far.
I was miserable. And when I let that bad boy go, I was ready to let it go to him. She said, well, the Lord spoke to Sister Jackson. Well, that's the problem right there. Poor piece of, yeah, that's who called you into the ministry? I said, man, it was man. I knew it was man. Knew it right away. She said, oh, that's the problem right there. And you got the poor. Thank you. No argument, nothing. Thank you. See ya. We was on the phone 4 hours. But God got through to a knucklehead. I told you, he deals in knuckleheads. He majors. I know I'm living proof. He majors in knuckleheads. I was a knucklehead with a capital knuckle. Amen. And I'm glad to tell you too. I wasn't born a pastor. I was not born a Christian. I was born a sinner, just like everybody else, or everybody else, which is even more than everybody. Yes, I was. I thank God I had his testimony. He chooses not the mighty. He chooses not the noble. He chooses knuckleheads, misfits, major knuckleheads. That's who he chooses. Run after him. Constantly, consistently, continue to be concerned about him. Set your hearts on him. Think constantly about him. Be preoccupied with his rule and his way of doing and being. Let it just flood your heart and your mind. Let it just inundate your thinking.
How much of us are on our mind in a 24-hour period? Don't answer that, but that's what you need to ask the Lord.
How often are you on my mind versus me on my mind? Lord God, show me the time. Give me a graph. Is it me this much and you this much in a 24-hour period? Help me to change. See those Gentiles, just like the world, they seek clothes, they seek cars, they seek fame. Or even if you're poor, rich, it doesn't make a difference. We want status, we want money, things. We seek those things. We desire those things. We constantly think about those things. We're constantly running after those things. And he said, for us, but instead, rather, you seek and keep seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. And look what he says. And all these things, what things? The necessities that you need and even the things that you desire even. Not only does he give you your wants, your needs, he'll give wants in abundance too. But you got to get your priorities right. That's why that key word in there, but rather seek first. Meaning before anything else, before everything else, before all else, first seek him. And when he shows you this, and I pray, Father God, touch the hearts of mine, they may see this, you'll see that you're out of order. You're disjointed in your thinking. You see, you're dislocated. You follow what I'm saying? Because we got this thing out of order. But the word of God brings us back in. It's like the doctor that sets that bone back in the socket so it can work properly. That's what the word does. As I said, attend church with a purpose. Just don't show up in there because it's Sunday or Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You had a purpose, Lord. I need a word. I need some instruction. I need some direction. I need to hear from you. Oh, I see. I am disjointed. I am out of order. I see that. Because I'm thinking about me. I love me some me. My most favorite people, my most favorite three people are me, myself, and I. And I love some me. And we're like that if we don't watch it. This is a reminder to bring me back to first place in your life. Please, saith the Lord. And he's telling us through his word by reminding us again. Seek and keep on seeking. Be preoccupied with my rule and my way of living and doing and being. And if you do that, he said, I'll add all that other stuff. That's trinkets. Cars and food and houses, that's trinkets. It's going to all burn up anyway. Peter tells us it's going to melt with fervent heat. All of it's going to melt. He's going to completely disintegrate the entire earth. He's going to pull it all apart. He's going to completely disintegrate. He brought it all together. He's going to tear it all apart. And have a whole new one, right? Revelation, a new heaven and a new earth. It's got sin in this. Tear all this out. Don't be preoccupied with the things out here. Seek first. First again. Before anything else. Before everything else. Before all else. Let's go back to Colossians. Please. Wow, are you serious? It's been 1 hour. That's amazing. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll close. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Remember, the first one was seek, right? Mm-hmm. Set your mind. By the way, now, you're in New American Standard, right? So verse 2 says, ESV. What did ESV say? What's the first one? Set your mind?
Mm-hmm. Set your mind.
Mm-hmm. King James says, set your affection. What you would do in brackets before the word set is be intent on setting your mind. Be intentional. Be purposeful. Be deliberate. This is something you must decide to do. Decide to do it. You got to make a decision. When I got off the phone with Sister Ophelia Jackson in March of 1989, I could have said, it seemed cool and everything, but, you know, I could have just, you know, not made that declaration. It was still up to me in a sense, but the power of God compelled me. But you got to make a decision. Be intent on. Not only, okay, you meet the requirement if you're born again. Since you've been raised with Christ, then keep seeking those things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Then be intent on setting your affection on things above. Seeking is the action. Setting is putting it into the mind. Set your mind. I'm going to stop. Because I don't want to rush through this. And it's been 53 minutes. That does not seem that long at all. Father God, Father God, Father God, Father God. What do we say to these things? Your word, just putting it in the vernacular, it is the bomb. Flat out. Amen. Period. Wow. No, I mean, I can see why Jeremiah said, oh, I found it. I found it. That's what my mother said when I was 1 year old, walking down in a basement in a house on Henry Street in Inkster. I found it. I have found your words, and I did eat them, and it became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, my soul. Hallelujah. Help us to rejoice in your word as much as in all riches. For your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our pathway. Your word, as we hear and receive and accept your word with the intent to do it, we then are treasuring, depositing, and storing up in our hearts in abundance that we may not sin against you. Oh, how can your sons and daughters keep their way pure? Oh, I got to preach over there by keeping it according to your word. Your word, oh Lord, is forever settled in heaven. And we peons, nothings and less than nothings, you've allowed us such a treasure, my Lord and my God. It's too much, as my Auntie Dale says. We thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.